last week, this week, next week about God and healing. Trung Han brought that up during worship. I remember a number of years back when I was just kind of learning about God's power to heal. Carolyn and I were at a couples retreat for our church in Milpitas. And I was one of the main leaders of that retreat. But that night, my job was basically to be a small group leader. And so it's Friday night, and we're just sharing. And I remember there was another couple in the group that was part of our small group during the year. So we knew them really well. There were a couple of other couples we didn't know that well. And one lady had brought her husband, who did not attend church, did not have really anything to do with God, but she'd got him to come to this couples retreat. So, you know, she was kind of looking at us to really impress him and make him want to come to church. It was very important to her. So this whole dynamic is happening the first night as we're talking and sharing. And at the end of our time, Norm, who's the fellow from our small group during the year, he says, you know, you got to forgive me. I'm going to need to go to bed really soon. Just before the retreat, they'd been on vacation, and we always went kind of in wintertime. And so he says, we were up in the mountains, and I was playing with my kids, and we had one of those sleds, and I was trying to teach them how to run and then jump, you know, on the sled on your stomach, and then boom, you know, you have a real head start down the hill on the snow. And he says, but what I'd forgotten, I was wearing my big parka jacket, I'd forgotten that I'd put my camera in my chest pocket. So he says, I ran, I was telling my kids, I was just so focused on my kids, I ran and I jumped on that thing and I landed right on that camera. He goes, I don't know if I bruised or broke some ribs, but I am in so much pain. And I've had broken ribs before. It is a horrible, horrible experience. Even a little cough like that can send you into racked spasms of pain for a long time. So I was really feeling for this guy, and he said, I just really need to get to bed. And they're really bad. And as he's talking, I'd been learning about God's power of healing, and I had this sense very clearly from God. I just had this sense in me that I was supposed to pray for him for healing. Now, at the same time, I'm wondering, oh, what about this other guy who has no experience with the church, and what's he going to think? And I was just really up in the air about what to do, but it was a pretty persistent sense I had that I was supposed to do that. So at the end of the time when we closed, I said, Norm, I hope this is okay, and if it's not, your choice, but I, as you were talking, I was really having a sense I was supposed to pray for your healing. We were supposed to pray as a group. And he goes, oh, yeah, anything. Great. You know, I'd love to be healed. This really hurts. And I said, okay, well, let's pray. So we prayed. It wasn't a very long prayer, but I just prayed what I generally pray. And I'll talk about that a little bit later. But just prayed for God to heal him. And as I had my hand just gently on his ribs, I could sense a warmth in my hand. And I was thinking, I wonder if something's happening. But all it was up to me was to be faithful. That was my job. I'd learned at least that much. My job wasn't to heal him. I don't have that power. But my job was to be faithful to God, leading me to pray for his healing. And then it was up to God, not up to me. So I just prayed, and we ended. And he goes, thanks a lot. You know, I don't feel anything right now, but I'm going to bed. So he left. We kind of broke and had, you know, desserts, you know, on the first night of a retreat. And everybody's talking and everything. The next morning, he comes in and he sits in our small group and he says, I want to tell you all something. If you ever are sick, go to this man because I will tell you my ribs, he goes, they're at least halfway better, maybe even more than that. He goes, I had my first night's sleep in a while. He goes, this is a miracle. This is a miracle. And he was telling everybody. And I said, shh, don't say go to Mike. Say go to God, you know, and pray. You know, it isn't me. And so he's, oh, well, whatever, just whatever, but have him pray for you. And, you know, we were excited and so forth. And that couple had left. The couple with the man who was not part of the church, they had left and did not come back to the retreat. I remember thinking, oh, Lord, you know, this is, what a story. I mean, I wish they were here to hear this, but it probably would have freaked the guy out and probably wouldn't have believed it. But I remember thinking, God, you know, why did you have me pray like that if this was going to be also the result? And, you know, that's part of the mystery of God. part of the mystery of God and healing. I don't know what might have happened later, because that couple kind of floated away from the church not long after that, or that lady, I think they moved or something. But I don't know what that link in the chain was to prepare him or both of them for God working in their lives. I don't know. All I knew was I was called to be obedient. Since that time, I've learned that it's important to be obedient to God's call, whether it's a specific call, you really have this sense, I need to do something, or you just have this call from God in His Word. You know, Romans 15:18, this is how Paul, one of the ways he summarized, and by the way, you have an outline in your bulletin, you can follow along, but this is one of the ways that he summarized his ministry. He said, God has used me to win the Gentiles to God. Here's how I've won them. I've won them by my message. So we all know Paul was a speaker. And by the good way I've lived before them, by the presence, his godly presence and his attitude, his character. And by the miracles done through me as signs from God. All by the Holy Spirit's power. All of these. So his teaching, his lifestyle, his life, and by the miracles. And basically my premise in all this is twofold in this series. Is one is God wants to heal the sick, that God desires to do that. Now, it doesn't happen all the time. I realize that, but God desires to heal. You can go on to the next slide if you would. And then the second premise is what I just call the law of expectations, that where people do not expect miracles, they rarely see them. Where they do expect God's power to be at work, they often see it. A large part of it has to do with our expectations. And that's not really any different than most of life, isn't it? We often see and experience what we're looking for. I found that with a lot of my counseling and teaching of people, that people will come and expect a certain thing, and they will often get that. And if they come expecting something else, they'll get that. We see through colored filters. People will tell me, oh, people are terrible and they're horrible and you can't trust them and so forth and so on. And there's sure enough evidence in life to back that up. I mean, there are people out there who are not trustworthy, who will betray you, who will stab you in the back, who will talk bad. But then there's people who say, you know what, people are generally good and I can trust them and I can enjoy a relationship with them and I want to be open. And there's evidence for that. And they will look at that evidence. And they will find people who are good and kind and merciful. Yeah, they'll see the other too, but they will focus on this. What we focus on often determines what we see and experience. That's true of everyday life. That's true of our spiritual life as well. That's also true often of God working in what we consider miraculous ways. Now, last week I talked about four reasons why why there was healing in the New Testament. If you do a study of all of the healings, you'll find there are four basic reasons given why there was healings. The first, I'll just recap, was that all miracles, including healings, authenticate Jesus' claims to being the Son of God. They proved His message was true. Jesus just didn't speak His message. He showed it by healing and delivering people from oppressive spirits. The second reason why God heals, it tells us in Scripture, is that when Christ and His followers healed people, it was a visible sign that God's kingdom had come on earth. You know, and it's come in power. Jesus wanted us to know, and that was His message. It was the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. It says in Matthew, kingdom of God, and Mark, Luke, and John, written to different audiences. Kingdom of heaven written for a Jewish audience. Kingdom of God written more for a Gentile audiences. Just language to help them understand it, that it's come in power. And it's come here. It's here now. And He wanted to show that. He wanted to prove that. And one of the verses I talked about last week was when John the Baptist was just curious. He's saying, okay, I've told everybody you're the one who's coming, but what you're doing is confusing me. Are you really the one that we were supposed to wait for? Did I get it wrong? And Jesus says, tell John what you see. His disciples came because John was in prison, John the baptizer. And he says, well, tell him what you see. Tell him you see. You hear the message being preached to the poor and the lost, but also tell him you're seeing healings and you're seeing people raised from the dead and you're seeing people delivered from evil spirits. That proves that I am who I say I am. So the miracles of Jesus authenticated His claims. And they also said the kingdom of God is here. Something unique, something different has started And Jesus, working by the power of the Holy Spirit, was able to do amazing things. The same Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. Now, third, signs and wonders, which is Scripture's phrase for miracles, what we call miracles, they called signs and wonders, are a very effective evangelistic tool. And, you know, it's pretty obvious that that would be the case. You know, if you go to the book of Acts, which is the story of the apostles after Jesus was raised into heaven, all the way through Paul being arrested, but just about heading off to Rome and arriving in Rome. If you read that story 17 times, there's conversions of people, individuals or groups, and that are directly related to miracles. In fact, there's more conversions related to miracles as far as stories, not necessarily number of people, but more stories by miracles than there are by people preaching. It's amazing. You know, we kind of get narrow and we focus on just message. And then the fourth reason why the miracle stories are there, why it talked about Jesus healing, was because that Jesus healed people because he loved them. It wasn't just a means to an end. It wasn't just to prove something. Jesus really wanted to heal people. He loved people. It says time and time again, he had compassion on them. They were hurting. They were lost. They were helpless. And he had compassion on them. And he wanted them to see that God is on their side. God loves hurting people. God is on the side of hurting people. Now, behind all that, there's an understanding throughout Scripture that we as his disciples, we as his followers, are called to be imitators of God. That was Peter's phrase. We're called to be an imitator of God. Jesus is our ultimate example. And in the past, what we've done is we focus on Jesus in many ways as our ultimate example of the message that he taught. Although we don't always get that too close either. He taught some pretty strange things that are hard for us to understand. We kind of narrow it down a bit. But we focus on him as a teacher. And we might focus on him as a lifestyle, although we don't always get that quite right either, because Jesus would do things we never think of doing, inviting in people who were diseased and people who were sick, and people today might be the drunks and the people on Skid Row and people like that. And he would freely associate with those people. But at least we say, okay, Jesus's character, the way he lived his life, is an example for us. But what we often fail to grasp is that he's also an example to us in his methods, how he taught, how he proved himself, how he showed people God's love. His methods, as well as his message, as well as his life, all of that, he is our ultimate example. So we're called to follow, I believe, scripturally, very clearly, his model of compassion. And when he encountered sickness, it evoked this deep compassion, this deep emotional response in him. And he wanted to pray for people's healing. He wanted to declare them healed. So what has happened to us? And that's what today is really about. This has all been intro. What has happened to us? Why? What gets in the way of our fervent prayers, of our desiring, of our coming to God and continuing to persist for people's healing? What comes in the way of that? Why don't we pray for healing? That's what we're going to do today. And then what we're going to do, Junhan and I are talking, is actually do some praying for healing at the end. So just wanted to warn you, get you ready. So you might want to listen because you're probably in one of these groups, just my guess. Because I've asked a lot of people this question over the years, and I find they break down into one of several groups. So here's just some of the responses that I get. So one group of people will say, you know, if I don't really pray for healing, and just honestly, I just really haven't thought that much about it. It's not part of my experience. You know, when you grow up in a church, for example, what you see up front is pretty much the model of Christianity for you. I've discovered that as I've, again, been pastor for all these years. What you see up here is the model of what you think of as kind of normal Christianity. Churches that do a lot of singing, people think, oh, okay, well, worshiping God, singing, and being taught are the two major ways in which we do Christianity. So those churches, Bible studies, small groups, you know, praise nights, besides here, that's the way we think. If you go to a church where there's prophecies spoken from the stage and that's all you ever see, then pretty much you think that's the normal way people do church. People speak prophetic words out over people. If you, in places where you see, and I've been in these places where they call it slaying in the spirit, where people come up and pray over you and you fall over, you know, to us that might seem weird, but to people who grew up in that church, that's a pretty normal experience. So they just assume that's the way you do Christianity, because what you see up here is what kind of normalizes Christianity for us. Okay, it kind of sets our mindset of what the kind of culture is or what Christianity is. So there's people, for many of us perhaps, who just really haven't thought about it because we don't see it up here. We don't see people being called up and praying for healing or anything like that. It's not a part of our normal Christian experience. So we just don't think about it. Or maybe we've never experienced it. Maybe we've had people pray for us or we've prayed for people, but we've never just experienced it. Okay, so for those of you who were there, it's just like, I don't really think about it, to be honest with you. I'll pray about it, but I don't really expect much to happen, to be honest. It's just not part of my experience. I would encourage you just to ask God, Lord, what do you have for me? I mean, Pastor Mike's talking about this. He seems to be convinced this is in the Bible. Instead of thinking of it in terms of, you know, what I've normally experienced, maybe my normal experience has been a little bit off, has been a bit skewed. Maybe there's another way of looking at this. And I'm just asking you to be open to that and seeing what God might teach you. Okay? So that's one group. I just don't really think about it. The second is people with the honest questions. You know, honest intellectual questions. And I'm not really attempting to deal with a lot of those during this message. It would take a lot longer to preach on these. But I want to give you a book, and I'm going to throw it up there if you want to write it down. It's called Authority to Heal. It's by a fellow named Ken Blue. If you go to the next one. Next slide. Ken Blue. Oh, sorry. Go one more here. Isn't there a picture of the book? Oh, maybe it's not. Okay, I'm sorry. But it's called Authority to Heal by Ken Blue. Okay? And if you want to write that down, Authority to Heal by Ken Blue. And it's a powerful, powerful book. Very clearly written, very methodical for those of you who have just honest intellectual questions about this. But here's what I believe to be a safe assumption, and it's what I was going to say, so you can go to the next slide. And that's just this. Jesus Christ is our ultimate example for both his methods as well as his message. And he's our model, and we need to follow him. Not just for the early disciples, but for us as well. We believe that the scripture was written, yeah, directly for the initial followers of Jesus and by them, but it was written because of God's wisdom and the inspiration of Spirit for believers all the way through the generations. That's why we still go back to it. It wasn't just a book telling us a history of people 2,000 years ago. It's a inspiration and a model for us to follow now, 2,000 plus years later. So Jesus is our ultimate example in all of this. So you may have questions, but if you start with that assumption, Jesus really is our example, then you need to ask yourself intellectually, honestly, okay, do I believe that God is my, Jesus is my example and my model? And if so, why am I not following his model? Okay, at least ask yourself that question, because that's an honest intellectual question. If he is my model, why am I not following it if I'm not praying for people to be healed or set free? Okay? Just a challenge for you. That's all. Okay. Now, that's the second group. Honest intellectual questions. A third group I speak with basically respond primarily from their hurt. They've had these negative experiences. Maybe they've seen them on TV. You know, maybe they've seen these faith healers and it's just been a bad experience. Maybe it's been a personal letdown. I remember praying with somebody, our team, our staff, four of us in Milpitas Presbyterian Church, we prayed for this woman who had pancreatic cancer. Now, generally, when you hear something like pancreatic cancer, advanced especially, you think in your mind 6 months or less. I mean, that's just generally the assumption. Anything with an internal function, like the pancreas, liver, whatever, you're thinking less than a year at the very least. And we really, this is a very sweet older lady, and we just loved her and her husband. And we had them come in every week on a Tuesday for 3.5 years and prayed for her. Now, she died after 3.5 years. I remember we were devastated, we were disappointed. But I remember one of her last times and her husband reiterating this, saying, you know, we got 3 years more than we ever anticipated, and you don't know how much that means to us. You know, and I wonder about that, I question that, and yet, you know, that could be either a negative or a positive experience, however you look at that. We all have these experiences. You know, maybe you've had that as well. I remember in Pennsylvania, the very first church I served, there was a woman who would come periodically to our church. It was a small town, so everybody knew each other. Everybody was kind of related somehow. There was some link somewhere in there. There you're related except for us. Nobody, we weren't related to anybody. But, and it was only 4,000 people. And this woman, she would bring her, she had a son, DJ, who was, I think, around 8 or so when we first met him. And he had brain cancer. An 8-year-old boy with brain cancer. I mean, that's a devastating story. And she belonged to a church that prayed a lot for healings for people. But it was also a church that believed that if you had enough faith, you would be healed. So it's been called faith healing. It's been called health and wealth gospel. Name it and claim it. There's all sorts of words that get used to describe this. But basically, the equation is this. God wants to heal. And whether you are healed or not goes through the grid, the filter of how much faith do you have. You have a lot of faith, God will heal you. You don't have a lot of faith, God won't heal you. So she was praying. She had them pray for her. And they prayed for DJ, the little boy. But they also told her, don't go to the doctor. Because you won't have enough faith. If you go to the doctor, you're not having faith in God. And she had them pray, but she also went to the doctor. And then they push her and kind of, you know, pressure her and say, oh, your son isn't being healed because you're going to the doctor. So she'd go, okay. And she'd take him away from the doctor and he'd get worse and worse. And she'd go back and they go, see, you gave God a chance, but you took it away from him. And she'd wrestle. And every so often, about after a few months of this, she'd go, and she couldn't take the pressure anymore. She'd come to our church where she knew a lot of people for kind of some healing. We kind of put her back together, pray with her, love on her, help her. But we didn't offer anything like that. We didn't offer any prayers for healing. I was still kind of oblivious to all this. So she'd sooner or later migrate back to her church because she's saying, as abusive as this is, and I think it was abusive, you know, they at least offer something. You don't offer anything. And she'd crawl back here just kind of be beat up. And finally, after she took him out of the hospital, and they were praying. They said, well, it's because your husband doesn't have enough faith. And he wasn't even a believer, but it was his fault. And, you know, so she's like, what do I do with that? It's not up to me with my husband. And so it was just, and so we watched this woman struggle with this for 3.5 years. After we left the church, a couple of years later, he died. And I can only imagine the kind of pain she feels from that. I don't know. I haven't talked to her in decades, but I can only imagine. But I know it left a bad taste in our mouth. You know, some of us have these negative experiences that are just terrible. You know, I've had them, others. But what I want to say to you, if you've had a negative experience, is don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Old saying here. You know, if you're still hurting over that issue because of whatever negative experiences you've had, let me share this word of encouragement. Don't let that keep you from all that God wants to give you or all the ways He wants to use you. You know, I think of my life. I think of, you know, I've had negative experiences with school, but I still went. And I had negative experiences with teachers, but I still listen to teachers. You know, I've had bad experiences with doctors, but I still go to doctors. I've had bad experiences with churches, and yet I still am part of a church. We all have these. And to use that as an excuse not to do something that God has called us, I believe in His Word, to do, is not being obedient. It's allowing our experiences to drive our faith instead of God. And that never works out really well. So if you've had those experiences, don't allow that from keeping a loving God from embracing you or embracing someone else through your prayers. Now, those might be your experience. Just a lack of experience or thought about it. Maybe you have honest questions. Maybe you've had negative experiences. But I think for most of us, the real problem isn't really this. I think maybe these are part of it, but I think the real problem is what I would just call a general sense of despair that a lot of Christians have about this. we don't want to face life ills and trials. You know, we'd rather run away from them. We'd rather escape. We'd rather ignore them. And so in regards to healing, maybe it goes something like this. So this is kind of what I've heard just put together all in one quote. I guess I believe that God can heal. I mean, he can do anything. He's powerful, right? But what if I pray and God doesn't deliver? Where will I be then? What will others think? Both the person I'm praying for and those people around me and around them. And perhaps even worse, does this mean if I pray for this and it doesn't happen, that he doesn't care about me? That he doesn't love me or he doesn't love them? And I think most Christians I've talked to, when I've challenged them about this, fall into this general sense of despair. It's like, but if I do it and it doesn't work, I mean, gosh, I don't want to hurt them. And what about me? I know people who are living with this and are very upset at God about this because they really wanted and they believed God wanted to heal, and yet it didn't happen in the way they expected. One of the things I'll talk about next week is that we don't always set the terms of what healing is. Oftentimes, healings that come are not what we're looking for. I've seen times where we've prayed for healing, physical healing of someone, but it turned out to lead to a healing of a relationship. I've seen times where we've prayed for healings of relationship and it turned out to be a healing of a deep emotional wound. I've seen times we prayed for deep emotional wound and it turned into a physical healing. We never know what God is going to do. All we know is God wants to heal. And he's going to do that through our prayers. I believe that it's the model of Jesus. So if you see yourself in this general sense of despair, I just want to say to you, keep listening, keep trying. And next week we're going to be praying about this. And just pray anyway. Just pray anyway. I believe God works through our prayers. That's what he's told us. Now, I mentioned earlier the law of expectations, where people do not expect miracles, they rarely see them. Where they do expect God's power to be at work, they often see it. If we don't pray or look for God to work in us or through us for healings, he won't. He won't. He asked that man in John 5, who was sitting by the pool of Bethesda, he says, "Do you want to be healed?" I mean, that's kind of a silly question when you think about it. And what does the man say? "Well, I don't have anybody to pick me up and put me in the water." It really wasn't an answer to the question. The question is, do you want to be healed? Do you want to follow God's model and be obedient regardless of how many inner struggles you might have? Because if we take the leap of faith and the step of faith that God wants to, I believe the Father will enter into our lives and into the lives of others in miraculous ways. He has this ability to penetrate through our doubts and our fears and just get to the heart of something. In fact, that's what I often pray for when I pray for healing. Lord, don't just go to the symptoms. Go down to the root. Wherever the root is, will you get that root? Luke 9:1-2. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. All power, all authority, God has given to us. It's not just the 12, it was to us as well. So what I'd like to do is to ask if you would just bow your heads. And I just want to do some praying. And Jung Han's going to come up and just do some music here behind us. And just, I'm not quite sure how this is going to work. I kind of left it open to see where the Spirit led. But if you would just join me in just a time of silence for a moment. Holy Spirit, teach us how to pray. So here's one way that I've learned just to pray for healing. Just keep your eyes closed. Just picture someone around you right now that's sitting around you. Someone in, maybe it's your spouse next to you, a good friend, boyfriend, girlfriend. Maybe it's just someone you know, someone behind you, someone ahead of you. Maybe you don't even know them. But just allow that picture to form in your mind, who they are. Just a picture. picture of them. And let's ask, Lord Jesus, for this person that I'm picturing right now, how do you want me to pray for their healing? What is it that I can do, pray for them? Just be still for a moment, and if you get a picture of anything, you get a word of anything, just start praying that, just in your mind, just start praying for them. If you don't get anything, then just follow along with me. Lord, I'm just going to pause in between so you can put in your own words too. Don't just say what I say, put in your own words. But Lord, I ask now that you would bring healing to fill in the name. Lord, I don't know where they need healing, but you do. I don't know what you want to do in their life to transform them, but you do. So Lord, I lay this now at your feet. I place them before you, Lord, with my prayers. And I ask that through the power of your Spirit, that you would do a miracle of healing in their life. Lord, whether I see it or know it or not, doesn't matter. But I pray there would be healing flowing through the power of your Spirit in the life of each person, Lord, who's in my mind right now. Lord, where there are physical needs, would you bring physical release and relief and healing? Not just the symptoms, Lord, but all the way down to the root of the problem. Lord, where there is emotional damage, where there are hurts and betrayals and wounds, abuses, Lord, I ask that you would go deep and begin healing these and setting him or her free from whatever the enemy has done and used against him or her. Father, where there have been relational problems, breaks, betrayals, abandonment, neglect, fears, threats, lies, deceptions, misunderstandings, accusations, judgment, criticism. Lord, would you go and begin now bringing a healing either of the relationship or of the people involved or both. In your wisdom, Lord, would you bring healing now? Start the process or continue the process of setting them free. Lord, where there's been mental damage and the brain of the person next to me or in front of me is not working right, whether that means a physical kind of a damage or that is through lies and deceptions that they have believed, strongholds, Paul calls them, in their minds. Father, I pray that you would break these down now. Instead of lies and deceptions, I pray you would shine the light of your truth. Heal their minds, Lord. Where the neural pathways have been scrambled or there are problems, Lord, would you start creating new ones? Go deep into their brain and begin your healing touch, Lord. Father, for those who struggle with broken hearts, whatever that is about, Father, would you bring healing for their heart right now? God of peace, shalom peace, healing peace, go into their heart right now. May your healing power flow. And I pray they would be able to sense and know, Lord God, something's different. Something's changing. And for those of us who need spiritual healing, Lord, whatever that might mean, would you go deep into our spirits, Lord, and set us free. I pray, Lord, these prayers that I've prayed would just be so powerful, Lord, through your Spirit, that they would just increase in intensity and in freedom and healing, Lord, 5, 10, 100-fold. And I pray it would pour out of them into others, Lord God. Just picture yourself before Jesus, however you want to picture it. And Lord, I offer myself to you now. Lord, I can list off the things that I want healing for, and I lay each one of these down before you now. Just you go ahead and list them just quickly before. Your Spirit would do a work of healing in my life too. But Lord, I give you the agenda here. I don't know how you want to heal, where, what first, what else I need to do, but Lord, I offer my life to you and I ask that your healing power would flow through me. Thank you that you have compassion on what is broken in me, just as you did on people 2,000 years ago. Thank you that hasn't changed. Thank you that the tears spilled for Lazarus, the tears spilled for all of Jerusalem by Jesus, are tears spilled for me too. To realize that you would care that much. But Lord, I ask that you would just hold me in your loving, healing arms, and Father, break down the walls I have created and open my heart and my life. Help it to grow. Thank you that you accept even the tiniest seed of faith. But I want it to grow, Lord. I want to believe that what you say is true. Teach me how. So we'll close with a song, and you can either just keep praying or let the song wash over you or join in the singing. Your choice.